are live. It is Friday, 12:05. Glad to have you along. This is the Week in Review. I'm Kevin Stewart, and we're in for a Jim Glover this week, a guest hosting, as it were. But we've got plenty of company in the studio to talk about some of the big happenings from this past week here at Truly Local Radio Northumberland 89.7. That's what we're all about. So I think for starters, we're going to turn over things to John Hill, who's going to fill us in on exactly what has been going on this past week. One of the things, right, John?
Well, thank you, Kevin. Yes, and it's good to see you here in the studio. This is the first opportunity I've had to be in the studio with you since you've become the station manager here at Northumberland 89.7, so congratulations on that.
Oh, well, thank you for putting that out there, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we've got a number of things that happened this week, but I think there was one story that sort of dominated the news this week, and that brings my guests here to the studio. Any idea who that might be?
Any idea? You kind of want to just keep us guessing for a second here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One, two.
Do we know who this guy is yet?
Well,
I think we're going to find out in just a sec. Yeah.
The story that revolves around this particular song was the fact that Coburg now has a new organization called the Coburg Taxpayers Association. And we talked about this last week, that it was about to form. So I thought it appropriate that this week we would invite here as our guests the president of the Coburg Taxpayers Association, Lydia Smith, and its treasurer, Paul Pagnuello. Now, both of these people have been guests here before, but not in that capacity. So I want to welcome both of you here, and congratulations on forming the Coburg Taxpayers Association.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Kevin.
Now, Lydia, let's start with it. How did this organization come to be?
I guess it was born the day after I did my first ever delegation to council about the Park Theater. I said at the press conference on Tuesday that I hate politics and I hate committees, and yet here I am involved in both. I did my first ever delegation to the town regarding the Park Theater, wanting to spend $600,000, and I was clear about the fact that I wasn't opposed to the Park Theater per se, and I certainly am not opposed to the Park Theater Group. I know a lot of the people, and they're good people, and I'm sure they've got good intentions. What I objected to was the process, the way it was done without a business case, and I found that a lot of people were frustrated the day after that. We were talking about why is this happening? Why can't we get people to listen to us? And what occurred to me was that council has power. And by getting up as individuals, by me speaking as Lydia Smith, or Paul has certainly done other presentations about strategic plan, about budget. Paul Whitehead made a presentation that night. Warren McCarthy has been up at different times. And as individuals, it appeared that we weren't being listened to, that council was still going ahead and doing whatever they thought should be done because they had power. And it occurred to me that if we were going to have power to be heard, that we needed to have the power of a group behind us so that when we get up to speak, we are no longer Lydia Smith, we are now, or Paul Pagnuello or whoever, we are now that person speaking with the Coburg Taxpayers Association standing behind us. So that was the reason for it, John.
Well, the situation was that this was Tuesday morning. This was supposed to be a press conference where you expected maybe 5 to 7 people in attendance. And when I went down to the Lioness Pavilion at Victoria Park, the place was pretty crowded. Did you or Paul expect this kind of a crowd?
No, I sure didn't. Again, because it was designed to be a news conference, we expected the media, but for the most part, nobody else. So it was a pleasant surprise to see, I'm guessing, probably in the neighborhood of 50 people show up. And I would think that came about as a result of the media advisory that went out to the media, who some of them ran with that and said, oh, there's something coming up on Tuesday regarding the new taxpayers association in town, and that the news conference is going to be in Victoria Park.
I just want to add a little something to that, because something funny happened to me the day before yesterday, Wednesday, the day after the press conference. I just ran into No Frills to pick up a couple of items for home, and a lady stopped me and said, excuse me, are you Lydia? And I said, yes. And she said, I was at the press conference on Tuesday, and I just want to tell you that, you know, we think it's wonderful, and you're doing a great job, and it to me, it just kind of shows me the support, the grassroots support, which is really what we're looking for and what we're about, that's behind this group already. It's heartwarming and wonderful.
Well, one of the things that I noticed at the press conference is that this is the Cobourg Taxpayers Association, but there was representation there from the Port Hope Ratepayers Group and from Hamilton Township. And do you see this as part of a larger body that can cooperate in Northumberland, not only to look after municipal events, but perhaps keep check on the county as well?
Paul, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. The county is always ignored by just about everybody, particularly at the taxpayer level. Nobody focuses on what goes on at the county, what the costs are, what projects they're getting involved in. And I think this is a great opportunity, not just for the Cobourg Taxpayers Association, but for the other two groups in the county to work together in terms of making sure that we can cover off county council and what's going on and report to the public.
I just wanted to add something as well, that I think it says something about the time being right for these kind of groups, in that the Port Hope Ratepayers Association only formed in 2010. Since then, they have a totally new council in Port Hope, and the Ratepayers Association has told us that they are working extremely well with the new council. As a matter of fact, I believe a couple of former members of the Port Hope Ratepayers Association are now on Port Hope Council. So they only came into existence 4 years ago. The Citizens Council of Hamilton Township, I believe, came into being, what, a month, 2 months ago, something like that? And they are doing extremely well, and we were warmed by the fact that they were there with us. I also would like to acknowledge that we did have greetings from both the Toronto and the York region Taxpayers Coalition, and that we also had a delegate there from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, Christine Van Gyne, who's an Ontario director. And we are so appreciative, and we do plan to work together. Our primary focus will be municipal issues, but in some areas there is overlap with county, and we are looking forward to working with the two groups in our county, and more, if we find more groups popping up.
Well, Lydia, when I attended at the press conference on Tuesday, it really came at a time in the midst of a controversy in which you were involved, because on Monday night at council, a letter that you had written to council was published. It wasn't read, but the mayor took quite exception to some of the statements that you had made in there, particularly with respect to staffing of the Parks and Recreation Department. You had said in your letter that over the past 4 years, the staffing had doubled, both in the employees and in seasonal employees. And the mayor turned around, and in fact, when I questioned him after the council meeting, he said that information was simply incorrect. Where did you get your information?
Thanks for asking that question, John, because I think there's a lot of discussion about that. The my information came from the financial information report, which the town of Cobourg is required to file with the Ministry of Consumer and Municipal Affairs.
No,
Paul's going to correct me.
No, I'm going to correct you. It's filed with the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the correction. But what I'd like to make a comment about what the mayor said. To me, there really are two issues in the letter that I wrote. One issue is, are the numbers correct or not? That's one issue, and I'm going to get Paul to talk about that a little more in just a minute. But The other issue, which I think is far more important, is that this is, to me, a prime example of waste and wasting time and wasting how things are done. I sent that letter on September the 1st. What I asked for was an opportunity to read the letter out loud in council. I've been wrong before. I may be wrong again. I don't think I'm wrong in this instance, as Paul will talk about in a minute. But that wasn't the point. The point was I wanted to bring my concerns to our council, the people that we elect, the people that we pay with our tax dollars. I wanted to bring it to the public and have a public discussion. What I got back was a letter from the mayor. An email from the mayor. He denied me the opportunity to read my letter out loud in council because he said it was full of erroneous information. I then did not go to the council meeting Monday night because I knew I would not be given an opportunity to speak about it. And he took the opportunity in my absence to speak about it. I was in his letter, I must say, I was invited to meet with both Stephen Peacock and with Ian Davey. And I've not accepted that invitation because I do not want to go behind closed doors to have this conversation.
Just to cut in, Lydia, yes. Stephen Peacock is the chief administrative officer and Ian Davey is the municipal treasurer. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. And, you know, thanks very much for the invitation, Mr. Mayor, but I really do not want to have this conversation behind closed doors. That's the problem. We need to be airing our concerns, our questions in public where they have an opportunity to answer us. And I note that even though it's been 3 weeks today, we still do not have, if my numbers are wrong, we still do not have corrected numbers. And this is given the fact that they are, you know, they're advertising for a position for Parks and Rec over $100,000. You would think that they would have this information at their fingertips because they should have done some research before they decided to hire. But I'd like to turn it over to Paul to just discuss where the numbers came from, because I think this affects our credibility. Paul, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Lydia. Most importantly, when the mayor comes out and makes statements like it contains erroneous information, I think that's pretty disingenuous. The information we used, Lydia used, comes from a report that the town is required by legislation to file annually with the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing. The very first page of the report is a declaration that is signed by both the municipal treasurer and the external auditors, is a declaration that says that all the schedules attached to the report are in agreement with the books and records of the municipality and its consolidated entities. The numbers that were used were the numbers that the town reported to the ministry. These were not numbers that we made up. These were the exact numbers that were reported. If there's an error, the error has to rest with the town, which filed the report. So we don't want to get into sort of a back and forth debate as to erroneous numbers and who's responsible. We simply use the data that the town provided to the ministry. If the data is wrong, then please correct it.
And can I add, sir, just one little thing to that? What I did was I sent an email to Ian Davey and said, could you please provide me with four numbers? That's all I want, four numbers. What were the total town staffing levels at the end of 2010? What are they at the end of 2014? And what were the total Parks and Rec staff numbers for 2010? And what were they for 2014? Four numbers. It's not rocket science.
And you got no response?
No.
Now, I guess it'd be Wednesday.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, John. I did get a response from Ian Davey, and the response was inviting me to come in again and to meet with him. And other than that, the only response I've had is the mayor's comments in the media.
The mayor in the media has commented that he welcomes the formation of the CTA and that he looks forward to working with the CTA because he says you have the same objectives, which would be transparency, and getting the town's message across. He has agreed to meet with spokespeople for the CTA at any time. Is this the kind of response you were expecting?
Paul?
I was surprised, and I certainly welcome the positive response from the mayor. I think there's an opportunity for the CTA to work with council and to work with staff in terms of achieving possibly the same goals and objectives. What we want is to focus on waste, as Lydia said, and to see how we can, by reducing waste, look at cutting the cost of running our town and the taxes that have to be collected. More importantly, I think it's most important for the public and citizens to know where tax dollars are being spent and on what, and is there a better way we can accomplish the end objective of providing core services and meeting the needs of the general common needs of people in terms of municipal services, and doing it in a more efficient way at less cost. And people are dying for information. I talked to people last week who said at the news conference, who said they didn't have a clue about some of the things that Lydia raised during her speech to the media.
Thank you, Paul. I just wanted to add something as well. You know, the mayor talks about transparency, and there are two small things that I would like to see done immediately. And one is, it was discussed during the budget in, I believe, April, about live streaming council meetings. Currently, they're on Cogeco. Not everybody has Cogeco, so I'd really like to see them live streamed on the computer. I believe Forrest Rowden was reluctant to spend the $10,000, if I remember that evening. Mayor Brockenier commented that he has heard the people want transparency, and that he's committed to getting this done. I haven't seen live streaming, and we were told by the Citizens Council Hamilton Township that you can accomplish it with a $400, iPad. So that's one thing that I would like to see that would immediately improve transparency. There are a lot of people that don't have time to go to council meetings. There are single parents. There are people that, maybe have challenges in terms of getting out when the weather's not so good, the elderly. These people can still participate in our municipal process if we had live streaming. The other issue would be the issue of a recorded vote. And I won't get into a lot of detail with this, but in effect right now, if you go back and want to look at something in the past to see how your councillor voted, unless a recorded vote was specifically asked for, you may only see that the motion was carried or that it was not carried. With a recorded vote, a record is kept of how every councillor voted. And I think that's important because you're then able to go back about a specific issue and see how your councillor voted on that issue and whether you want to vote for these people next time around. John?
One of the things we're talking about when we talk about transparency is the elephant in the room is Holco. Tell us about the Coburg Taxpayers Association view with respect to Holco.
I'm going to let Paul handle that one. Paul?
Well, it's time to peel back the onion. I've said this before. The inner workings of Holco, how it operates, any information about its finances are secret. And they shouldn't be, because Holco is 99.9% owned by the town of Coburg. Holco is the holding company for Lakefront Utilities Services, Inc. and Lakefront Utilities, also another subsidiary called Coburg Networks Incorporated.
So in effect, that's our electricity, our water treatment, and some internet fiber optic services.
Exactly. We own 99.9% of it. By extension, the fact that the town owns it means the citizens of the town own it. And there's something dramatically wrong when there's no financial information published and available to the citizens regarding their investment. This should be a no-brainer. They should open up the books, just like the town's books. I mean, none of the senior staff appear on the sunshine list. They don't have to, because they fall outside of the scope of
The sunshine list being people who make over $100,000 a year.
This is a provincial requirement for every municipality and government department to report anybody who's earning over $100,000 a year. We have no clue.
Earlier in the year, Northumberland 89.7 brought up what we called the streetlight scandal, And that's where it appears that Coburg, through one of its agencies of Holco, went out and spent over $1 million on street lighting and then ended up finding themselves in court for patent infringement. Now, when we tried to look into this, we were basically stymied because we can't get any information out of the town. And the other problem is that, well, it's so old, why are we worrying about something that happened 4 or 5 years ago? What would the Coburg Taxpayers Association do if it were suddenly able to look through the books?
Again, I'm going to let Paul answer that question, but I just wanted to mention something which I don't think was mentioned at the beginning of the discussion, and I just want to make it clear to the listeners that Mayor Brockeneer, by virtue of his office, sits as the chair of the Town of Coburg Holdings, Inc., which is Holdco, which is what we're talking about, this parent company that has these subsidiaries. So I'm going to let Paul handle the question about what the Coburg Taxpayers Association would do.
This is really shining a light on what's going on in an investment that the town owns and the citizens own. For example, you brought up the patent infringement lawsuit. We also know that there was a whole issue where they were reporting information to the OEB, where the information was wrong, and as a result, they have not remitted $737,000 to the energy provider, and as a result of that, they then had to make up the shortfall of $737,000. Now, the mayor says, well, that's fine, but, you know, we either paid it back then or we pay it now. The fact of the matter is that error never should have happened in the first place. And when it did happen, it should have been reported to the public. Why hide that sort of information? That sort of information should not be hidden. It should not be secret.
Another agency that Coburg is facing is cost overruns and continuing expenses for the Coburg Community Center.
Talk about that.
All right, well, go ahead and talk about that.
I've got another letter that I was getting ready to write. I started by thinking our yearly tax increases have been 18% in the last 5 years. And I know the taxes are needed to make sure that we are protected and have good water and roads. But I'm concerned about, as you say, overruns at the Coburg Community Center. In the Northumberland News on April 20th, 2011, Mayor Brockeneer was quoted as saying, "The best part of it is that we were able to construct this magnificent structure without using municipal taxes." The $27.4 million project received $9 million each from the federal and provincial government. The town of Coburg contributed $6.4 million from development charges, and there's a fundraising campaign for $3.1 million, which currently sits at $2.25 million. According to the CCC's budget, it may have been free, but this is what it will cost since then. So in 2014, they're expecting it to cost $769,000 per year, and that is after if you take the money that they take in and then their expenses, we still will have to pay $769,000 per year. In 2014. 2015, the number is $816,000. And in 2016, the number is $918,000. So we're up to almost $1 million a year just there. The other issue is wasted energy. From 2011 until August of 2014, we have wasted about $34,000 per year on energy costs. That's $102,000. That was fixed when for those of you that use the walking track there, you may notice that the glass partition was put up. The bowl area glass wall, as it's called, that has sort of staunched that wasted energy. And that information comes from an IB story report from the Committee of the Whole on February 17th, 2015. And there's more.
Okay. Well, I know that we could go on, and I think Paul wanted to talk about development charges as well. But we're running short on time, so I'm going to have to wrap things up at the present time, and I want to thank both of you for being here. And Lydia, just before we go, is there any way that people who are listening can get in touch with the Coburg Taxpayers Association?
Oh, absolutely. Please, please, please go to our website, www.coburgtaxpayers.ca. And we're looking for supporters, we're looking for money, we're looking for ideas, we're looking for issues.
All right. So I want to thank both of you, and I'm sure we're going to be having you back in the future. So that winds up this section. Stay tuned for Brian Coggins, who will be talking about issues in Port Hope.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.